540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Capital One.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who entered hospice care at home just last week, died this afternoon surrounded by family in the home in Plains, Georgia that she shared with former President Jimmy Carter, her husband of 77 years.
Reporters called First Lady Rosalynn Carter the Steel Magnolia.
And I've got to ask you this question. Where's the magnolia?
Where's the steel?
The nickname rang true. She was Southern, born in the same Georgia town as her husband, and she was strong. From the age of 18, when she married Jimmy, she'd be by his side. The 39th president said Rosalynn was an equal extension of himself. As for the secret of their long, happy marriage, he told CBS News,
"We resolved many years ago not to ever end a day without being reconciled."
So you always kiss each other goodnight?
Yes, at least.
Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Mrs. Carter was 96. She'd been suffering from dementia. Her husband is now 99 and is left to soldier on without the woman he fell in love with when they were teenagers. They were married in 1946. An Israel Defense Forces tank and its soldiers fired at buildings in two Gaza neighborhoods today. The IDF says its soldiers found almost three dozen tunnel shafts and a cache of weapons and killed a number of Hamas fighters. Negotiators are closer to an agreement to free at least some of the hostages being held by Hamas. Deputy National Security Advisor John Feiner on CBS's Face the Nation.
On an issue as sensitive as this and as challenging as this, the mantra that nothing is agreed until everything is agreed really does apply, and we do not yet have an agreement in place.
A major endorsement for Donald Trump.
We need a president who's going to secure the border. We need a president who's going to restore law and order in the United States of America.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott. In Colorado Springs, Colorado today, a one-year remembrance ceremony at Club Q, where five people were shot and killed. Former Mayor John Suthers.
As a community, we must never forget what happened here. We owe it to those who died here and who suffered here.
The shooter is in prison, motive still unknown. Repeating the top story of the hour, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, a passionate champion of mental health, caregiving, and women's rights, died peacefully today at her home in Plains, Georgia, just days after entering hospice care there. She had been suffering from dementia. She was surrounded by her family when she died. She was 96. This is CBS News.
No fees or minimums and no overdraft fees are another reason banking with Capital One is the easiest decision. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Studies show people who live in rural communities have a life expectancy 3 years fewer than people who live in urban areas. Mike Moan reports now on efforts to plan to prevent these deaths.
Across rural America, health experts say factors like ambulance shortages and hospital closures add to access issues for patients, leading to poorer outcomes. The American Heart Association notes that rural populations are 40% more likely to develop heart disease. AHA's Tim Nicolai says that's why his organization is working with small towns and cities to build a nation of lifesavers for when a rural resident experiences a heart attack.
Are the people and the organizations around them prepared to respond with effective CPR, with utilization of an AED, and kind of just having that entire system in place?
Municipalities that apply for the designation are given tools to evaluate gaps in getting residents trained and fitting buildings with the proper equipment. Nicolai says schools should be a major priority for any readiness planning.
There's dozens or hundreds of students there day in and day out. There's dozens of staff members. There's often parents and other volunteers visiting during the school day. And then you think about athletic events and community events that are often housed in schools.
He says schools should not only make sure staff are trained, but also make sure automated external defibrillators, or AEDs, are placed in visible locations and are accessible after hours. Nicolai says churches, food pantries, and community centers are other places to add to a readiness plan. Local leaders wanting to pursue a certification can contact the state health department. AHA also has details on its website where communities and businesses can build their plan. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bowe.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 36 tonight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 44. Cloudy tomorrow night, scattered rain showers likely, 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh with the outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Tuesday, November 14th, 2023, now 6 past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in, Mr. Zommers. Happy anniversary. It's great to be here. We are at our one-year anniversary. It was look at this, a little piano. Very nice to have a piano person here in the studio.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday
to us.
Yeah, to the show.
To each and every one of us. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Happy anniversary. It has been 1 year since Mr. Zommers and I first signed on to the air at our old location on University Avenue. It was a cold November day. Today, much warmer. Sun is out. Feels almost like spring a little bit.
Pretty toasty.
Yeah, very good. But yes, we have arrived at the one-year anniversary, and to celebrate that and to honor that, I have some very special guests coming up here at about 20 minutes past the hour here, the noon hour. Our owner and CEO, Sage Weil, is going to be along and talk a little bit about not just our show, but Civic Media at large. He's been talking here internally about some of the things that we are looking at covering and how we cover it moving into 2024. So Sage Weil, our CEO, will be here at 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. And then at 12:30, as it turns out, it is Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers here at 12:30. And going to be talking a little news headlines as well as some sports. We usually touch base and I said what I wanted to talk about. He goes, it's all sports. I said, well, I don't know. So he's got a news item.
All right, there we go.
And so
A little balanced.
And so we'll be talking Supreme Court issues coming up with Luke Mathers as well, 12:30. And then at 1:30, in the second hour, our co-executive producer of this program, Chris Pauls, will be along as well, who is also at cracked.com. Did you know Mr. Zommers, he's also a musician?
I did. He plays guitar, right?
Yes, plays guitar for a great band here in Wisconsin called Super Tanker. They have new music out. And Whoa. So he will be here talking about this new album that is being released via Spotify and other places as well, I assume. But we'll talk to Chris Pauls, find out what's on his mind at 1:30 as well. So Sage Weil, Luke Mathers, Chris Pauls, all joining us today on our one-year anniversary. Mr. Zommers has a Weezer t-shirt on. It's fantastic.
I do have a Weezer shirt on from a concert that I went to that I've probably talked about before. Mm. But Mike Crute, host of the Devil's Advocates, he also noticed it coming in. He was like, Weezer, yeah.
that was a big bad. Jeff Perry could tell us for sure. I believe Weezer made their network television debut on David Letterman.
I don't know.
It might not be true. If Jeff's listening, he'll let us know. But Weezer was a favorite band of David Letterman's. Well, I mean, a favorite to be on the show for a long time, and Paul Schaefer. So very good. Well, congratulations, Mr. Zommer. We have made it to the one-year mark. Any reflections from you at this point in time?
I'm really happy to be here for 1 year. It's gone by very quickly, but a lot has happened for sure. And I can definitely say that starting this show, when you, Todd took me out to pizza and talked about it and like talked about his past, why he's doing a show, what he wants it to look like, and asked what I wanted it to look like. And I just remember thinking, what do I want it to look like? What do I have to do with this? It's the Todd Albaugh show. But he really wanted to make it a collaborative effort. And I think that I am very grateful for that opportunity. And it's been so much fun the whole time.
Well, and equally on my part as well, but a lot of fun, but a great getting to know one another. You've been a huge part of this and how it sounds on the air in particular. I really appreciate your professionalism, and it's been a great adventure. And you know, we got hopefully another one in us at least.
Absolutely.
So a very important one coming up in 2024. So we'll have some more reflections on the past year as the day continues. But the big shout out, I would like to shout not just to you, Mr. Zomers, for all your fine work and partnership and friendship in this, but also to our listeners, because we started in the morning at 8 o'clock, and then we went to the afternoon at 1 o'clock, and now we're starting at noon. And many of our core listeners have followed us through all the time changes and everything else. And I just so appreciate everybody who has stuck with us, who listens in either live over the air on the Civic Media app, or on the podcast version as well. Appreciate all of those great people who tune in, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube as well, because without you all, quite frankly, we would not still be here. So the credit goes to each and every one of you for tuning in and listening to us and calling in and texting in, because that really is what makes the show live and breathe. It's not just
absolutely
not just me, not just Somers. It's all of us. So thank you all, one and all. 11 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Want to start out today with a good news story. Feels like a lot of times we don't have good news to share. This headline on CNN: Biden, President Biden, says a deal to free the hostages held by Hamas, quote, is going to happen, unquote, as officials say they are nearing an agreement. I think this is a great way to start the show, because as we move into 2024, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, having hard conversations, but having factual conversations. And one of the things I think that we are missing a lot in much of mainstream media is talking about the successes that are out there. And I'm willing to talk about successes, be they the impetus of Democrats or Republicans. But as of late, it seems like there have been more successes on the Republican side. But hey, I will give credit. I mean, one of the things that is happening right now at the state capitol is a bipartisan bill they are working on to address PFAS and water contamination. I'm happy to give Republicans in the legislature credit. Those in particular, Rob Coles, Republican state senator from Green Bay, who is working in a bipartisan manner to get real solutions. But here, breaking news, not breaking, but news today. President Joe Biden said today he believes a deal can be reached to release hostages being held by Hamas in Gaza, voicing optimism as he tells CNN that prolonged talks to free hostages are nearing an agreement. Quote, I've been talking with people involved every single day. I believe it's going to happen, but I don't want to get into detail, unquote, the president told White House reporters this morning. A senior U.S. official familiar with the talks said today that Israel and Hamas are moving closer to a deal to secure the release of hostages taken during the Hamas attacks on Israel in exchange for a sustained days-long pause in fighting. The official stressed that while the parties have inched closer to striking a deal, the talks remained volatile and could still break down. Quote, it's closer, but it's not done, unquote. One European diplomat yesterday expressed optimism that some hostages could be released in the coming days or weeks. This is great news. And we've talked about this in a Wisconsin context, in particular here in Madison on the campus, but I know other university campuses across the state, in other communities across the state. There have been pro-Israeli rallies. There have been pro-Palestinian rallies. I think there's a lot of disinformation out there and people getting riled up for perhaps the wrong reasons. But I think that we can all agree that any sort of hostages should be released, that innocent lives should matter on every side. Shouldn't matter what people's nationality is in terms of whether a life is sacred. But I think this is really positive news. And again, I point out that this could only come about if you have someone in the White House who is experienced, who knows all the players, who understands the volatile, tender, dry danger of negotiations at this level. To the White House official's point here, this story, very volatile and it could break down any time. But here's a guy, Joe Biden, who has been in the United States Senate, spent years there, leadership, chaired committees, chair the House Judiciary Committee, vice president for 8 years, and now president. And it takes that kind of gravitas, that kind of experience to create a team. It's not just him. It's the people that he chooses to head up the State Department, Antony Blinken. It's the people in the National Security Advisor, people that he appoints to ambassadors and shared affairs. It's the team that the president assembles that can get results like this. And again, I understand it's not done. But while others have been calling for extremes, I'll say, here's a president who has stood with Israel, not necessarily the Netanyahu government, but the Israeli people and our alliance with Israel, but yet has been negotiating behind the scenes. And it looks like now we're getting close to a situation where we have hostages that may be released, particularly American hostages, both Israeli Americans and Palestinian Americans, and that there will be perhaps a 4 to 5 day ceasefire to allow this to happen and for more humanitarian aid to get into Gaza. I'm very thankful that we have a person like Joe Biden in the White House right now. Somebody who can negotiate these things. And again, not a guy who is politically sexy from a media standpoint, not media sexy. Doesn't get you the great clickbait quotes that Trump does. But he just gets things done. Went and got gas last night, $2.93. $2.93 as we go into Thanksgiving, as we go into the holidays, gas prices coming down, inflation, the lowest of any other democratic country in the world. And I get it that prices at the grocery store, they're still high. Not everything is coming down. But if you look at what this president has done in 2.5 years, compare unemployment, record lows, job creation, record highs. A lot of great things have been done over the last 2.5 years of a Biden administration and with a lot of opposition in Congress. And again, I want to point out, it's not just one person. It ain't just all Joe Biden. It is the people that he appoints. And I think if you juxtapose that to what we talked about yesterday with Donald Trump, the people that he wants to appoint, again, I ask yourself, as a former Republican, does this align with what you believe? What Trump wants to do versus what Biden is already doing? That's how we open the show. We come back. We talk to our owner and CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil, on the other side. Do not go anywhere. You're going to want to hear from him moving into 2024. This is the Todd Allball Show in Civic Media.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down 2 bar backs. No one's manning front of
house. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome back in on a Tuesday, November 14th. Mr. Zommer is on the board. Glad to have you along across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the app around the world. If you haven't got the app, it's a perfect time to do it. Just open up your iPhone or your Android device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. It'll pop up a beautiful little CM logo there. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It is free, gratis, no dinero. Won't cost you a dime. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app. Download it today. The person who created the Civic Media app or had the idea for it and this entire network joins us now on our one-year anniversary. That's right. It was 1 year today that our show signed on the air. We are grateful to be here 1 year later. The CEO and owner of Civic Media, Sage Weil, joins us live in studio. Sage, how the heck are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing there, Todd?
Well, we've survived a year, so not bad at all.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you to you. Before we start, I just want to say, Zommer, as I talked about at the top of the show, it is a privilege and an honor to have this opportunity to have a microphone, to go across the state, to be on an app that goes around the world. I don't take that for granted, and I just want to thank you for the opportunity and Civic Media for supporting us and putting us on the air.
We are thrilled to have you on the air.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. 1 year later, we look at our show and kind of look back at what we did and where we're going. You've spent time, you know, here at Civic Media internally, recently talking about, as we move into 2024, some goals in terms of how we want to talk about things. And I just wonder if you could share a little bit of that. And again, this has not changed. I've told this story before, I'm going to tell it quickly again. When I had my first interview with you, you know, I thought it was a little too good to be true because, A, who the heck is buying small radio stations across anywhere right now? And number two, usually there's an agenda, a large one-sided agenda to it. And so I asked you, I said, well, what's the deal here? What do you want me to say? And you simply said, to tell the truth and do it with integrity. And I can tell people 1 year later that has not changed. Talk, if you could, please, about what you've been telling us internally about where Civic Media is going in 2024 and what are the things you want to focus on.
Sure. I mean, I think the reality is there is an agenda, but that agenda is simply democracy writ large. So a year ago when we were first getting off the ground and getting started, we went through sort of a mission, vision, core values sort of exercise. And we were a much smaller company then, but it was a great process. People were very involved and very enthusiastic. And we settled on a mission and vision statement and a set of core values that include, you know, democracy, transparency, a bunch of stuff. And it's all on our website. So this is all fully transparent. And I think it was very helpful early on to sort of make everyone understand the reason why we're here and what gets us up every morning and what the goals for the network are. But fast forward a year and we're roughly doubled in size as far as people. There are a lot of new people involved, and it felt like it was time to sort of revisit that a little bit, and also just take another pass over those statements, make sure that they were still as clear and concise as possible, and try to tighten it up a little bit. And so we had a number of discussions internally and so on and so forth. And so this week sort of we came up with our sort of new revised mission and vision statement, which are largely unchanged, except that they're much shorter and more concise, and I think a little bit more direct and forceful. And so I guess you want me to share those?
Share a couple, but before you do that, I just want to talk a minute about, and again, you've been very transparent in the past. You've been a large donor to Democratic candidates, and there's no secret there. And I think that's great that you don't hide that. But again, you've told us internally to all hosts, all producers, that we're not here to promote intentionally a particular political side. It's whoever buys into pro-democracy, we're here to talk about that and them.
Yes, 100%. Yes. And it's sort of an awkward political moment right now where you have only two political parties of note, and one of them is sort of actively trying to dismantle many of these institutions and norms. And so you only have sort of one choice if you want to vote pro-democracy, at least if you're paying attention to what's going on. But I view this as sort of a short-term situation. And I want to be very clear that as soon as we have Republican candidates who are championing democratic reforms that are valuable and actually improve the transparency and the ability of the electorate to select candidates that will truly reflect their wishes, then we would 100% want to support those people as well. This is not about one party over another. It's about candidates who are defending and championing democracy and the democratic process, so that we can get to a point where we can improve the system and not just sort of prevent it from crumbling.
I had an eye-opening moment like last week when you and I talked briefly, or maybe it was time goes so fast now. I'm getting old, Sage, but he's still young. I'm getting a little older. But I think you nailed it when we were talking about in terms of people who bring to the table, and you're a big proponent of ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. And we had a caller call in last week who echoed this. And I said, but Sage, this isn't going to change anytime soon until we have a different legislature. And you said what?
I said that we have to be able to look beyond sort of the immediate steps that need to be taken in order to preserve the system that we have, and be actively educating the electorate and informing people about what reforms are possible, so that we can demand those reforms of the candidates that we're voting for. And I think I often come back to the example in the, I guess it was in the 90s when the Newt Gingrich, I think it was the yep. Contract with America. Is
yep, this, 94.
And I was like, I think in middle school or high school, whatever. So I'd like barely, I barely remember how this actually happened. But I think the concept is great, where you clearly identify what your legislative agenda is, mm-hmm. and you get all of the candidates in the legislative candidates to sign on to that, so that you can then hold them accountable. And I would love to see a similar sort of initiative this year, particularly if we can get maps that are more fair, because then a lot of these districts will be competitive and the candidates will be scrambling a little bit. But if we can identify a series of democratic reforms that that we believe are going to improve, and when we can get those legislators to pledge that they're going to support those or whatever, then we can hold them to account. I think there's an opportunity there.
I do too, and I think it's great. Again, this doesn't mean that every person has to agree on taxes, for instance, but if people just agree on democracy, you know, we can promote those people, yes. even though they might not have a large D behind their name. If they're just simply in favor of democracy and say, hey, if I get to the legislature, I'll vote for ranked choice voting, you know, that's somebody that that we can talk about.
And I think that, I mean, when you look at the polling, you see that the support for the rate at which people identify with a particular political party is steadily declining. I think it's at like 25% now on the left and on the right. And you have like a whopping 50% of people who don't consider themselves a Democrat or a Republican or are frustrated with both parties or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think this is an opportunity for us to build an environment where there are more than two political parties, and more importantly, to frame our sort of our social identity, our tribe, if you will, in nonpartisan terms. Like my hope for civic media is for us to create sort of a new team democracy, let's call it, where people have decided that they are more interested in preserving a democratic system than in furthering the sort of divisive issues that are sort of dominating the current conversation.
Sage Weil, owner of Civic Media and CEO. We thank you, my friend. Thanks for being here. Hopefully we'll be here again to talk about it and review it in year number two. Back with Luke Mathers on the other side of Civic Media.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter has died at 96, just days after entering hospice care at her home in Plains, Georgia. CBS's Major Garrett takes a look back.
Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter had a partnership that was unusual for a president and first lady. The Carters' bond was deep, both in private and in politics.
Could Jimmy Carter have been elected president without Rosalynn Carter?
Well, I don't like to think he could.
She spoke her mind to her husband, and he valued her advice. She sat in on cabinet meetings, a first, and took the heat for it.
It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what he does. We're going to be criticized. You just have to have confidence.
And Mrs. Carter had plenty. She was dubbed the Steel Magnolia. Earlier this year, the Carter Center said she'd been suffering from dementia while the former president entered hospice care. Their last public appearance together was in September. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Badgers win in overtime. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Nebraska jumped out to a 14-point lead in the first half, but the Wisconsin Badgers battled back to send the game into overtime and get the win, 24-17. Braylon Allen with a 3-yard run to score the winning touchdown, ending a 3-game losing streak. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Well, winning's a whole different feeling, so... I wasn't kidding. I mean, you guys have seen me the last couple weeks. You've seen me on the Monday press conferences, and it's been a stretch, you know, on all of us. I think, you know, every kid in that locker room, every coach in our program, and to get a win tonight, it's so great. I mean, it's deep. It's deep.
Wisconsin travels to Minnesota next week. NBA, the Bucks with a 132-125 win over the Mavericks. Milwaukee scoring in 7 of their last 9 possessions to get the win in the fourth quarter. Adrian Griffin.
You know, your fourth quarter got to be your best quarter, especially when you're playing a terrific team like Dallas.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 36 tonight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 44. Cloudy tomorrow night, scattered rain showers likely, 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad.